Amen. You want to turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 2. Earlier on, actually, I read out Mark chapter 1, where Jesus was in the house and he healed Peter's mother, and it was in a place called Capernaum, and he healed her and raised her up from her sick bed, and then everyone came to the house. I was thinking this. I remember my next door neighbor was very, very, very sick. And Sharon, you know, dragged me in to pray for her. And that's the truth. I was asleep on the chair. And Sharon says, quick, Noel, come on in and pray for Evelyn. And I'm like, I don't want it. She's like, but you're the man of God. I don't want it. I'm narky. I'm cranky. So she dragged me in. And we prayed for her. And she got healed. And so she went around telling everybody, my next door neighbor can heal you. And I had these visions of people, like I live in Ballyfermot, and I had the pictures of thousands of people queuing all the way down Ballyfermot Road to knock at my door. And I was like, man, that's what it must have been like. And you know, we have to be careful what we ask for sometimes, because there's a price to pay. And God builds us to the place where we can pay that price. But Jesus did heal many and did cast out many, many demons, and the scripture is going to be up here, and I'll read it out from the translation that's up on the screen. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, he was after being there. He'd done this whole miracle situation in Peter's mom's house. And it says, the people heard that he'd come back home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the man that was paralyzed, or lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He was saying he was God. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Amen. This was an incredible situation. We have been in the prayer meeting. Eddie has been inviting us to come over Thursday night. It's been said here every week. Why do we say about the prayer, the intercession every week? We believe that this is the power base of our church. This is not it. It's Thursday night. And the one thing that we have learned over the while, that this is where you hear what's going on in the church, is in the prayer meeting. And some people come and they haven't been there in ages, and it's like we're talking two different languages. And you don't want to be go in the same building but have a different language or hear people say different things. And you go, man, is that where we're at as a church? You will hear it there. And I encourage you to be there. We made a commitment to the Lord when we first started this church many years ago now. We says, Lord, if we're not a praying church, we won't play church. Because any church that is not praying is playing. They're playing the game, they're playing religious games, they're playing religios, because there's no power without prayer. And I encourage you to come along. And this has been one of the scriptures that has been prayed through and taught through for many, many months now. But this house was amazing. I love the fact that this house, like we reckon, and the scholars reckon, that he went back to the woman's house that he healed, Peter's mother's house. It says when he came back home, that the people start going to the house and flooded this house. You can leave that scripture up for a few minutes, Malachi, please. But imagine the situation. Imagine someone had got healed. Peter's mother had got healed. They brought all the sick and even the demon-possessed to Jesus. And then he's back in the city. He's back in the town. And word gets around. Hey, he's back. The Jesus that healed Peter's mom, the Jesus that healed all the sick that we brought to him, the Jesus that cast out the demons of everyone that we brought that had demons, he is back in town. And all of a sudden, everyone in the town converged upon this woman's house, and she opened her house for all of the people. There was huge expectations. I tried to picture if it was like in our little flat and dolphin house, imagine everyone converging down on it. I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. Thousands of people coming into that place. It was a great house. And I can find many things in this house that represents our house and where we're heading for as a house. It was a house of flexibility for one, and we'll get into these and unpack these over the weeks. It was a house of flexibility. It was a house of forgiveness. It was a house of fantastic stories. It was a house of fond memories. It was a house of family. It was a house of friendships. It was a house of finding connections, and it was a full house. But this morning, what I wanted to land on, it was a house of faith. It was a house of faith. Jesus said to the disciples on many occasions, "Oh, you of little faith." And he wasn't saying there's a problem with having little faith. What he was implying is that your faith has poverty written all over it. It wasn't that it had little faith, because the Bible said if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted, or you could say to a mountain, be cast. So it wasn't about little faith, it was about impoverished faith. Impoverished in this way, guys, I've been with you for 3 years. You've seen what I can do, and you still have poverty faith. It's amazing power in what you remember. And you remember what Jesus done in the last situation you were in. It gives you faith, not poverty faith, but a rich faith to believe that he can do it again. It says in the Bible in Romans that we've all been given a measure of rich faith. The disciples, Jesus said, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, rich faith in the mustard seed. Then another time the apostle says, Lord, will you increase my faith? But this was a great house of faith. There's many types of faith in the Bible, and I could preach forever on types of faith that you find in the Bible. Believing faith, death faith, persevering faith, overcoming faith, the cry of faith, growing faith, the prayer of faith, obedient faith, standing firm in the faith. But no matter where you find yourself in your faith, because you'll probably be standing in one of them. This was a house of faith, and I'll tell you why. Because Jesus was in that house. They said, your man is back that healed everybody before. They said, he's in the house. They didn't go to see Simon's mother. They didn't go to see all the crowd. They came to the place because Jesus was in the house. You know, I am so confident that when you bring people to this house, they will be touched by Jesus. You know why? Because he's in this house. He is in this place. That's why we have no problems. Come and bring your sick. Bring your prayer requests. Bring your non-believing family, because we are confident if Jesus is in the house, which he is, they will be touched in some way by him. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. For you that come, he that comes to God must first believe that he is. See, and this is where the crux of it all hangs. Poverty faith is failing to believe who he is. Rich faith is hinged on believing that he can do anything. And they brought this man, four men, with this guy in it on a stretcher, and they carry a corner each, and they bring him to Jesus. They look and they see that there's big crowds in the place. Hey, do we give up? Do we stop or do we persevere? Do we say, hey, I'm going to give up? We're never going to get through all that crowd. They said, no, look at the roof. And he looked about the roof and he says, nothing's going to stop us now. And he climbed up on the roof and he dug a hole in the roof. Wouldn't it be crazy? Wouldn't it be crazy to see that happening, the roof coming in now? And someone lowering down somebody that is sick. But they knew this, if I just get them to Jesus, they will be made well. I don't care if I have to climb over heads or up on top of a roof, I'm going to get them because I know who he is. I know who he is. He's the healer. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So those who come to him must first believe that he is. John, the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, it says that he is God. He is the Word. He, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything that is made has been made through him. He is God. They somehow had a revelation that God is in the house. And this was an opportunity for them to step out in faith, believing that he is. That's why I had the video this morning about the seven-way king. He is everything. That's why Seymour, the guy that was on the video this morning, was bellowing it out because he is. He is your healer. He heals the heart. And he heals the mind, and he heals the body, and he heals the spirit. He is the provider. He is the way out of a situation. He is the storm calmer. He is. And these men somehow knew, get me to Jesus. We were surmising one night, who were the four men and who was the man? Maybe they were family. Maybe they were all mates. Maybe your man didn't even know the other four, but he convinced them, hey, get me into that house and I will come out of there walking. We don't know what the situation is, but I know this, that he knew if he gets to Jesus, that he would be healed. Faith in Christ. Faith in who he is. He is God. He is the expression, the full expression of God. And God says, I'm going to come to earth and I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to show you what I'm about. And Jesus brought heaven to earth to show us what he was about. What is your obstacle? What is you? What has you on the stretcher? Have faith in Jesus. These men didn't only have faith, but they put works to their faith. They weren't only people that says, I believe, I believe, I believe. There were people that says, no, we're going to do a bit of work to get there. It's one thing saying, I believe in Jesus. But it's another thing to put yourself out in front of him. It's one thing to believe Jesus for millions of pounds or millions of euro. But can I believe him for my dinner tomorrow? Can I believe him for the necessaries? Because sometimes it's easier to believe for the big stuff because it doesn't really affect you if it doesn't happen. But when God says, believe me, trust me, he'll make it happen. The old story of the man that falls off the cliff and he's hanging on by just a branch. And God speaks to him and says, do you believe in me? He says, yeah, I do. Do you believe in me? He goes, yeah, I do. Well, he says, let go, I'll save you. Your man says, is there anyone else up there? He was asked to put work to his faith. And he says, is there anyone else up there? But works and faith is so important. I think what's happened, some of the church around the world is that we have faith, we believe this, we believe, we have our creed, we have our doctrine of faith, but there's no works. And James says that works without faith is dead. That is one thing saying Jesus is in the house, but unless I put a bit of work to get your man to Jesus, I'm never going to see the miracle. I'm never going to see what we need to see. And then you can have the opposite, work, 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 and no faith. It's not a talking game. And I thank God I'm leading a church that doesn't just talk. And James says, it's not about just believing, believing, believing. You have to put works. That's why we keep on saying to people, get involved in building this house. Don't say, I believe, I believe, I believe in the church. I believe Jesus gave his life for the church. I believe the church is powerful. I believe the church is going to do something in our city, in our community, in our nation. Put work to your faith. Some people go around saying, I believe God's going to get me to do this, 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 and this. Believing's not enough. Listen to what James says to his hearers. Someone say, you have faith. And I will say, I have deeds. So he said, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You say that you believe there is one God. He says, even demons believe that and shudder. And all the faithful Jews knew a creed, it was called the Shema. And it's found in Deuteronomy 6:4. And this is where it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And James commends his Jewish Christian readers for believing that there is one God. And that's the basic of Jewish orthodoxy. But he says, such a creed is not enough to see a person saved. He said, such a creed is not enough because it's from the inside out a person is saved. And he says, you can believe all you want, but if there's no works, if there's no outworking of your faith, if you're not being changed, if you're not trusting in Jesus, well, he says, even demons believe that. And shudder. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, don't say, I believe, I believe, I believe. Let the works that come along with that belief come through your life. Because these guys could have said, yeah, we believe Jesus will heal you, but see you later. We believe Jesus has a great plan for your life, but see you around. And he's on the stretcher saying, no, but you have to put works to the faith. I believe that when we get there, something will happen, but I just need to get there. I need to step out of the boat. I need to get before him. I need to show him that I believe in him. I need to show him that if I get before you, anything can happen. See, I don't want to be the leader of a house where we're just believing. And I believe I'm going to be this, and I believe I'm going to be that, and I believe this, this, and the other, and there's no works. Because James says, show me your works. Don't just talk to me. I don't want there ever to be a house that just talks. I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. People say this, 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 and other. You know what I always say? What are you doing for Jesus? What am I saying? Exactly what James says. Where's your works? Don't tell me you're going to be the next Reinhard Bonnke and you can't even turn up on time. Don't tell me you're going to be the greatest healing evangelist and you can't wash behind your ears spiritually and you don't know your word. And James, that's what James was saying. Saying people are going around, and he says, sure, even demons believe that. Now show me the fruit of your work. Show me the fruit of your salvation. Show me the fruit of the outworking of what God is doing with inside of you. Can I tell you, there's great works in this house, and there's greater to come. That I see in your lives, in many lives, that the outworking of what God has for you, and it's so encouraging. It is so encouraging. Peter says, it says of Peter, step out onto the water, and I'll show you this. I'll show you what it's like. But James says, don't say I believe and have no works. And don't do all works and have no faith because you'll be doing stuff in human strength. The sound that was in this house was the sound of faith. See, faith is the spark that produces the kingdom of God on earth. It's that stepping out and believing that if Jesus said it, it's going to happen. If Jesus said it to me, I'm going to step out. Jesus, can I come out of the water, Peter said. And Jesus says, come on out. And he had to make the choice. He had the spark of the kingdom miracle to walk on water by stepping out in faith. Faith is the spark that produces the miracle. It says they lowered the man down before Jesus in the house. The atmosphere was rampant, charged with faith and expectation. Could you imagine that everyone that was coming in contact with Jesus, he was healing them, and they were all in this room, and they were, and then they lowered the man down, and the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he looks at the man and he goes, son, your sins are forgiven. It was when he seen their faith, the stepping out, the trusting that he is who he is, was the very thing that sparked off the miracle of heaven in the house. The very thing that caused the kingdom of God to explode all over that place was that Jesus saw their faith. He took him at his word. They trusted that he was who he said he was. It is faith. Months ago, from Thursday last, a month prior. I was down the upstairs praying with the rest of the pastors in the city, well, 14 other pastors from around the city. And we were praying, and I was kneeling down at the step, and I just had this little sort of nanosecond of a glimpse of something. And I was like, Lord, what in the world was that? And I'll tell you what it looked like. It looked like, you know, the pile of light on a gas stove. You know, the pile of light that's keep on lighting, and then when you turn the gas on, and that's what it was. It was just, and I was like, Lord, give me understanding. What does that mean? I knew it was out of the blue. I knew it wasn't out of the blue, it was out of heaven, but it was just something that I wasn't thinking of. I said, Lord, what is it? Give me understanding. I don't want to say it without asking for understanding. I don't want to be someone that just says things that come into my head, Lord. I want to have understanding. And you know, understanding makes you outstanding. Lack of understanding doesn't make you look outstanding anyway. Lord, give me understanding. And I said, Lord, give me understanding. And then just you understand that I believe the Lord gave me. You know, when that pile of light is there, and all around the gas, you go home and look at this. When you're done on that gas, there is an explosion waiting to happen. It's like the atmosphere around on the gas stove is full with expectation. It's full with something that is ready just to boom. Isn't that the way it works? Poof. And the Lord says, no, that's what the spark of faith can do. See, your life and my life is charged with kingdom atmosphere. It's charged with unlimited possibilities. It's charged with miracles. It's charged with wonders. It's charged with saving and changing other people's lives, having the word of heaven, having the expression of heaven. And it's that step, that little spark, that little pile of light that goes, boom, it's there. The kingdom explodes all over the place. And you see people being touched, and you see people being stirred up, and you see people's lives being transformed because of that little spark. And Jesus says, all you need is the little mustard seed. And see, when you get the little mustard seed, you can believe for bigger things and greater things. But it starts with that. Is that limited to anyone? No. It's for us all. In your circumstance, in your situation, there it is. The kingdom exploding. The word of heaven, the wisdom of heaven, there it is. Always in the house full of atmosphere of kingdom charge. And I want the sound of liberty to be this, that it's just like, whoa, there it is. There's the kingdom of God exploding all over you. You lay hands on the sick when you go home in your workplace, in your family. You step out in faith because you're charged with the kingdom of God. They're healed. Someone that doesn't, is not a believer, you come into their life, you step out in faith and tell them your story. Kingdom of God is turned on. The kingdom of God is there. The pile of light is turned on. I want to be a believer. I thought you were mad, as Sharon said. And now I'm sharing the story about Jesus. I know what's going on in this place. Why are they lifting their hands? And now I'm the first to have my hand up. The kingdom. In an instant, in a suddenly. And the sound of this house is so vital to what we are want to do. The sound of this house is so important for who we're supposed to reach. The kingdom's all around us. Jesus said, John the Baptist said, it's right there in front of you. It's right there. And if you just step beyond fear and confusion and doubt and say, stuff this, I'm going to trust that Jesus is who he said he is. I'm not going to let the obstacles, I'm not going to let all the crowds, I'm not going to let the roof stop me. I'm just going to step out and believe that Jesus is Jesus. And that he'll do what he said he will do. And you know what? He always does what he says he will do. He always does it. He's not a liar. He's not a trickster. He's not a fraudster. Whatever he says, he will do. What builds your faith? Here's some things that can build your faith. First of all, the Word of God. See, faith comes from hearing the Word of God. It's just saying to Phil, I leaned over to Phil. Phil leaned over to me when we were listening to the video, and he says, you never get tired of that, don't you now? I said, you could listen to that week in. You get up in the morning, put that on, I tell you, you'll be charged for the day. And I lean back on and says, Phil, print it off and read it out on your own. Because I've read that out before we ever seen it on video. You're preaching it out to the congregation, and you can feel faith rising. This is my King, my Jesus, indescribable, incomprehensible, a friend to the weak, a strengthener to the feeble. And you start saying this out. You know why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and not the word of God. Never underestimate this book. Make sure that you know it in context. Make sure you know what it says. Memorize it. There was a pastor reading out at the prayer meeting during the morning, Hebrews 10, one of my favorite scriptures. Do not throw away your confidence. Do not, because he who will come will come and will not delay. Because you are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who believe and are saved. And as he was saying it, I'm quoting it after him and before him. Because why? Because I wanted to get this word into my spirit. And when you say a scripture, I will want to finish it for you. Why? Because getting the word into you builds your faith. It builds who God is into us. Get this word into you. What builds your faith? The word. What builds your faith? Listening and hearing the word. Never underestimate the power of sitting under the preaching of God's word. Never. Do you ever sit there and someone says something and you hear someone preaching and inspires you to do something? It inspires you. It brings life. It brings hope. You come in and you're down and out and God has a word for you. And here's a word for somebody that you have failed God. You feel this morning that you have failed God. You have not failed God. That you've been in a situation in the last weeks and God wants to say to you, failed man, but you didn't fail him. Get back up. Whatever situation you were in, I could pick you out if I want, but I don't want to do that this morning. But you think you failed God, you didn't. You failed man. God says, come on, get back up. It's okay if man thinks you that way in his eyes. Get back up. Let faith stir up in you. No, I'm going to give it another shot. I'm going to give it another try. I'm going to go for it again because I believe him who's in the house is speaking to me, is encouraging me. Never underestimate the sitting under the preaching of the word. Memorize this word. Quote this word. Understand the word of God. When you're in difficulties, understand it. There was a tremendous missionary. He really started missionary work in the later centuries. His name was Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor went over to China. He started the China Inland Mission. Incredible minister. But he wrote it back to his wife who was in England. And he says, we have 25 cents. This is what he had to his name. 25 cents and all the promises of God. He says, we've 25 cents, honey, for all the promises of God. Have we been there, Sharon? Not a cup to have our tea in, but we had all the promises of God. Mustard seed faith. That's why you're here today. No money. Nothing really going for us in the eyes world. In the worlds of the eyes world. But all the promises of God. That's why you're sitting on that chair today. That's why you've entered into this house. The word of God. Get it into you. We'll build faith. How else will you build faith? Proclaim his love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. Psalm 92, I was reading this and I'm like, this is a recipe. If you're feeling down, if you have to take, you have to get up and you have to G yourself up to get into the day, read Psalm 92. Listen to what it says. It's good to praise the Lord and make music to his name, to proclaim his love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. You want to start your day on a good day? Proclaim his love in the morning. Get up in the morning and just tell yourself and the world and heaven and hell and anyone else that will listen, I am loved of God. I'm special in his eyes. I am his favorite amongst all the favorites. See, we're all his favorites. That I am beloved. That he cares for me. He cares. He knows the sparrows that fall from the sky, but he says, I am worth much more than the sparrows of the sky. He says that he will provide for me. He will be there for me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Tell yourself, proclaim the love of God in the morning and his faithfulness at night. You want to have a peaceful night's sleep? Thank him for his faithfulness. Lord, thank you, Lord. You've never let me down. You're always true. Builds faith. It builds something in you of substance. Then the morning when you wake up and you're back into proclaiming his love for you, I want to tell you, you're cutting off the options of the world. You're cutting off the options of your circumstances, of your situations to be the first things that will invade your life. I copped on. I usually put on the radio when I first wake up. I don't do that. When I first wake up in the morning, you know what I say? Thank you for this day, Lord. They're my opening thoughts of the day. Thank you for your goodness to me, Lord. Lord, what have we got on today? Then I usually put on the radio. Do you know what usually came on the radio? There's been 3 shootings up in Crumlin this week. Shoot. There's been an explosion on the north side. And I'm like, I feel myself getting more druggy and more like, oh man, this world, what's going to happen to it? Stuff the radio. Proclaim his love in the morning. Stop listening to it. And his faithfulness at night, because they're not going to get up and say, someone got saved this morning. 98FM is not going to say, oh, I hope you have a good day. I hope you know God is with you and God blesses you. And Psalm 92 says, this is your recipe for starting your day off and finishing it. Here's another recipe for building your faith. Being with other believers. In spite of what people believe, we cannot make it on our own. If you cut off a finger and you leave it there, you come back tomorrow and that's rotten. And it's no good. It's not functionable. The Bible, it calls us like the body of Christ. You're not made to be on your own. You're not made to go through your stuff on your own. You're not made to be even having your successes on your own. That we're made to be together. You know, last week I was with other believers down in Kerry. I spoke 4 times in 2 days. Throat raw. Do you know all I could think about on the way up? Man, what happened in Liberty? What did Peter preach like? What was the worship like? Who was there? Who was not there? You know why? I love being with you guys. It's great being with other Christians, and I love it, but they're not Liberty Tribe. Amen. They're not the Liberty Tribe. They haven't got the sound. They have their own sounds. Don't give up. When you're going through your struggles, you know what the enemy wants to cut off? The very things that bring faith. The word and being together. Cut that off, and he has you. You'll run away. You won't get the encouragement. You won't get the enthusiasm. You won't get the passion of worshiping God when you're on your own. You get it when we're together. You want to build up faith. You listen to Sharon's story. I'm sure you know people are in addiction, like her mom was. I'm sure you know daughters and sons of people are in addiction and are messed up. But the reality is we're all messed up. And you hear his story and you go, no, there's hope. You're caught up in an addiction. You hear someone stand up here and say, I got free from addiction. You hear the praise report on the back of the card that like my son is 3 years free of addiction. I prayed and asked God another one. I'm 3 months sober. Praise God, they said. And you're sitting there struggling. You get encouragement. And faith rises up. That God, we're all God's favorites. What God will do for that person will do for me. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to believe again. I'm going to get back into the race again. You don't get that on your own. Don't give up. Don't let the circumstances in the Sunday morning say, I'm not going there. Proclaim his love in the morning and you'll skip the church. Proclaim his faithfulness before you went to bed on Saturday night and you'll get up Sunday morning. Can't wait to be with the tribe of Liberty. I can't wait to see their smile when I come in the door. I can't wait to see them up on the worship team. What video have they got up today? What are they going to do today? What's the word going to be today? You're meant to be in church. You are made to be with one another. Even when we wreck each other's heads, we're still meant to be together. Say amen now. Because you can't do it on your own. Here's another way of building up your faith. 5 minutes. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider, this is the writer of Hebrews, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, this is a big ask of the writer of Hebrews. I tell you guys, don't imitate those you don't know. Imitate those you see, faithful, living out their faith, their way of life. He was put stuff in our lives, in your lives. Paul says, well, I think Paul wrote Hebrews, but they don't know. Let's say Paul wrote it, right? All right, the writer of Hebrews. My Bible college teacher's in the back of my head there. You can't say that because we don't really know. So, you know what, guys, it's a big ask. Imitate your leaders. Don't imitate those we just see on television. We don't know them. We don't see their lives. How good they are or great they are is not even the point. But live out those, he says to them, look at the way they're living their lives. Is their faith producing works? He says, imitate those. Is their talk just any old talk? No, it's not. See, you know, I've had this belief for years that sheep don't represent the shepherd very well. Because I've listened to some sheep around churches and they're like, they have this talk on them and I'm like, I don't want anything to do with their leader. And then you meet their leader and they're told the opposite. Do you know why? They weren't imitating their leader. Not that you walk around and you dress like the leader or you talk like the leader. But if there's a sound in the house, it comes around everybody. If there's faith in the house, we're all talking some way in God's trusting God for something. And he says, listen, here's how you build up your faith. Look at those who's leading you. Accept them with their quirks. Accept them with that they're human. But look at the fruit of their lives. Don't follow wrong people, guys. Don't follow wrong. Follow the people that you know in your heart are trying to live for God. Are trying to lead something of God. They're the ones we give our lives to. Amen? Feed your faith. His last one, feed your faith. Get books. Get CDs of good people. Ask people that are older than you in the Lord. Who is good to listen to? Who is good to read? Don't just accept any old Yahoo on the telly or what you're reading. Don't accept that stuff. There's big money to be made in Christian literature. And people are producing books and CDs and all they're doing is making money and they're not advancing the kingdom of God. And all we need to do is ask somebody, did you ever read him? I never take a book unless it's recommended. I never. Because I don't know these people. I don't know where they're coming from, and I don't know what their angle is. I'm not saying that we end up being real suspicious people, but our mind is their business. So mind your own business. Mind what you put in. Mind who you listen to. Mind who you allow influence you. And all it takes is not being judgmental or looking around investigating everybody. It's just asking someone who's older than you in the Lord, saying, hey, would you recommend a good book? Who are you listening to? Who's stored in your fire, Noel? Who's stored in your fire, Peter? Who's what you reading? Who are you? What are you reading in the scriptures? What are you getting out? Feed your faith with good books, good stories, good CDs. Amen. Believe in him. Reach out to him. Trust him. Hold on to him this morning. Wherever your faith, where you need something to happen in your life, can I say this morning in this house, trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. There was a fire in a house, and the little girl ran up the stairs. She got up onto the roof, and she... Could we have the worship team back now? She got up on the roof, and the flames was everywhere. And she went up to the roof because she felt it was safety up there, but the flames were going to eventually get to the roof. And her daddy was down on the ground. And the daddy says, honey, jump, I'll catch you. And she couldn't even see her daddy because of the smoke and the flames that was starting to billow around her. And she said she wouldn't even answer him because she wanted the safety of what seemed to be solid. And he goes, honey, jump, I will catch you. And she says, daddy, I can't see you. And he said, it's okay, I can see you. And he was asking her to jump and step out in faith because her dad could see her. I see where you're coming from. I see the angle you're coming at. And my arms, honey, will catch you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's in your world, what's in your life, I tell you, your father sees you. And he asks us to launch out. Well, see, that little funny story about hanging on to the branch is more common than we think. Let go. I can't see you. I can see you. Is there anyone else? I'll get an answer off the pastor. I'll get an answer off my friend, off the philosophers of this world. Is there anyone else? And God is still saying, you let go. Trust me, I will catch you. He will not let you dash your feet off a stone. He will not let you. The Bible says in Psalms, those who trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. You can trust Jesus that's in the house. With circumstances, with situations, with the deepest things that is in our hearts. And I have found it's easier to give Jesus the things that's outside of me than it is to give him the things that's in here. I find the other stuff hard. But he says, you can trust me with the stuff that's in here.